I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh-oh, that, you know what that music means. Means we have to open up an investigation? Are we putting someone on the stand here? Our next guest, Elliot Short Parks, is calling, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C.
Well, I can't wait to hear this.
That's Color Cut Clarity, Carrot, and Cozy. Elliot, how we doing?
ESP!
I'm wondering what I just walked into, but I'm excited to talk to you.
Well, this is I think it's more of an intervention than it is anything. Okay. So, Elliot, I was in the car yesterday, and I heard you say something, and it reminded me of me a little bit back in the days where I would defend Gabe Kapler and I would leave here with sweat on my brow. I just want to make sure you're okay, because I heard you say yesterday with the afternoon show that you called your mom the other night to kind of vent about how everyone's being rough on Sirianni, and even she was rough on Sirianni. So are you okay after a week of trying to calm everyone down on Nick?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is, you know, I don't think you had on your side with Gabe, but I have on mine with Nick, is the record is the record. And he has been to the playoffs three straight years. He wins way more than he loses. So everyone can focus on the sideline antics. If he does eventually leave fired, I'll be interested to see if they can find a coach that's as successful as Nick Sirianni's been.
In a short period of time.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Yeah. I mean, look, but we did that with Doug, and then they found Nick. I mean, the odds are they'll probably find another coach. If they put good players out there, they'll probably win a lot of games.
Yeah, but so I like the roster argument that people make, right? Well, like they win because of the roster. Well, then do they lose because of the roster? I mean, if you look at what this team has been over Nick's time here, he has overachieved more than he's underachieved. The first year, absolutely overachieved. Nobody expects him to go to the Super Bowl. He won more games than he was supposed to win. The second year, absolutely overachieved. No one thought that team would go to the Super Bowl. Last year, for sure, disappointment at the end. Did start 10-1, but a disappointment at the end. So this idea that he's being carried by a talented roster, almost every year he's been here, he has gotten more out of the roster than the general public expected to happen.
I would agree with you. First 2 years, I was on board with that. I don't think he's getting as much as he should right now, but we'll see. I mean, he's got to figure it out now.
But I don't know if I would agree with you on that, because if you look, first of all, in the two games where they have everybody, they're averaging 27 points. That's a pretty good outcome, right? But I would also say, do you think that if the 27 points would leave them ninth in points overall, would you say Jalen is a top 10 quarterback this year?
No.
Okay, so how many teams do you think are higher in their average points than they would be where you would rank the quarterback? I guess not many, right? We all agree Jalen's not playing well, but then somehow it's Nick's fault when the offense isn't outputting all these points. Like, I think with all the amount of turnovers they've had, the fact that they sit 3-2 is actually overachieving.
So I would say this. I think that's interesting the way you framed it, but he's an offensive coach. How is he helping this situation?
Well, so in the two games where they've had everybody, which is how we grade him, right? Like, if you want to say the offense wasn't good enough against the Buccaneers, I agree with you. Now, they didn't have AJ, Devontae, or Lane, so I wouldn't say that is him underachieving in that game. But in the two games where they've had everybody, they're averaging 27 points. That is not a bad outcome. Like, they're not going to average 33 points on the year. That's just unrealistic. So if you want to say it should be, you know, 28, 29, fine. I would agree with you there. But when you consider in one of those games, the quarterback turned it over three times or whatever it was, like, yeah, I think that ultimately, when they've had everyone, they've been better than they probably should be, considering the quarterback play.
Well, we'll see where the rest of the year goes. I mean, the first 2 years, I'm with you. 2021, 2022, they went over their win total. They went to the Super Bowl last year under their win total. This year, you know, we'll see. They're 3-2 right now. Elliot, how did you think the week went here as it's gone on? We just played the Sirianni press conference, how he handled everything. Obviously, Sunday was not a good look for him, and everyone's reacted to it. He apologized Monday. Today, you know, I think it was more spinning it forward and talking about being reflective of the whole thing. How do you think he's handled it since Sunday?
So I do think in the two times we've heard from Nick since Sunday, he's definitely been more subdued, more quiet, I would say, not as animated as he normally is. Obviously, you guys played the press conference, but I just left a press conference here at the NovaCare Complex, and he was definitely, I felt, quieter and less energetic than normal. And, you know, I'm sure coming off of Sunday, that's probably somewhat intentional. But I also think that it is not a winning formula for him moving forward. I don't think Nick Sirianni needs to change. I don't think he should change. And I hope he doesn't change. So, like, the Nick that I've seen these past two times since Sunday, I hope that's not the new version of Nick that he's been you know, essentially bullied into having to be because of people being so upset.
But do you think he has to change what he does on the sidelines? Like, he can't be doing what he did Sunday. It's one thing to have energy and be himself. The players have said that, Elliot. We talked about it yesterday. If the players want it, the players want it. But there has to be a line, right? Like, he can't be going to yell at people in the crowd.
100%. What he did on Sunday after the game, he cannot do. And if he does it again, like, then I think you're talking about a fireable offense. Can't do it. But let's not act like in five games this year, he's been running up and down, yelling at people every week, running into the crowd. Like, it was one incident that he shouldn't have done. It was a quick incident. So, like, yes, he can't do that. But that doesn't mean we need to reshape who he is as a person, as a coach, as, like, how he leads the team. I think that would be a gross overreaction to what happened. It was a bad mistake. Shouldn't do it, right? But I don't think that means he needs to change. He just can't make that same mistake again.
Yeah, well, I kind of see it similar to that. There's like behind closed doors stuff, and then there's what we see, and I think you got to keep it behind closed doors and get the guys motivated the way you do. All right, Elliot, let's talk about the team itself. Elliot, we've had trouble since Sunday, and not just because we've been caught up in the Sirianni stuff, in taking what do we take from that game? They won ugly. We all kind of thought that might be the way it went. But the defense played well. I'm not even sure if that was because they turned a corner, Cooper DeJean out there, or the Browns' offense is just that awful. And the offense didn't turn the ball over, but they only scored 20 points, and again, none in the first quarter. What do you take from the actual on the field from Sunday?
Yeah, I think that to look at Sunday, you have to kind of dive into the nuances a little bit. And if you do, I do think they took a step forward on Sunday. I think you could argue it might be their best performance of the season. Now, of course, you have to take the opponent into consideration. And it's funny, when you were saying that about the defense, it reminded me a lot of the Jonathan Gannon debate when he was here, right? Like, Jonathan Gannon, defenses would absolutely dominate bad teams. And that's still a good quality. Like, I don't care who you're facing. If you allow zero touchdowns in a game, that is a good output for the defense. So I thought the defense did take a step forward. But I thought the bigger improvement from what I saw was on the ground. They have a pretty good defensive line. And I thought Jalen, in that game, did an excellent job taking care of the ball. Obviously, we know he didn't have any turnovers. But what he did, I thought that was more impressive. He even put the ball in harm's way. I mean, I don't think he had a single turnover-worthy play. So, I think if they play that exact game, then they're going to go on a pretty decent run here. I think they'll beat the Giants, they'll beat the Jags, and then we'll see against the better opponents if they can improve.
Elliot, a lot of people pointed out this week, and the more evidence is, right, it's not like one or two games out, it's five, that the offense from, like, our eyes looks similar to last year. And there was a sense back in minicamp, I remember Jalen said it was 95% new. You go back to Kellen Moore's history, a lot of under center, different things. We remember Dak running the Kellen Moore offense. I think there was a feeling it would look more like that. It looks more like the offenses we've seen in recent years. What do you make of that? Do you think this still is like last year's offense? Are we not seeing it the right way? How do you see the offense so far?
Well, so I saw that I think as of now, they're down to 29th in the league in motion pre-snap. They were at 32nd, I believe, last year. So they're right around where they were last year with that. They're not really throwing the ball over the middle of the field. And, you know, during the time with Nick here, he's had Chink Steichen, he's had Brian Johnson, he now has Kellen Moore. And the offenses kind of always look the same. In 2022, obviously, they were better. But I also think that's because Jalen just played, you know, outstanding that season. So, you know, there's such a pressure, such like an emphasis on calling it the Nick offense or the Kellen offense, the Jalen offense. It is what it is. Jalen is the quarterback. It would be foolish to run an offense that didn't play to the quarterback's strengths and weaknesses. So, yeah, I think that the offense looks the way it does because Jalen likes the offense to look a certain way.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. All right, Elliot, the one thing that has been consistent for a while now, but certainly the entire season, is 0 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
What's your best guess of what's going on there? Because you look other quarters, I think they're like 9th, 10th, 11th in the second, third, and fourth quarter. So the offense goes back to being, you know, solid or good, whatever you want to call it. I heard when you were and Landon and Hewitt were on the players' lines the other night, Landon kind of trying to give perspective of how coaches call plays early. It just doesn't make sense. They have good players, like they score in the other quarters. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. First, I do think, obviously, if we want to look at five games, which isn't a super small sample size, but it also isn't a full season, I think over the five games, turnovers have been a problem. You think about Green Bay, they turned it over the first two drives. I believe one of the New Orleans turnovers was there. But there's also obviously been other games where they haven't turned it over and they're still not moving the ball. I think you know, it's probably an adjustment period for the coaches, and that certainly falls on them. It falls on Jalen in terms of, you know, he started 0 for 5 last week. I thought there were two throws to Devontae and AJ that could have been better throws that might have resulted in a field goal attempt or at least getting them in the red zone. So, yeah, it absolutely is a problem, because if you look back to last year, or week one of 2023, they have pretty consistently been trailing more than they've been winning at the end of the first quarter. And that's just not a recipe for success. So it's definitely something that has to improve.
They do. I mean, they really do. You can't. It's just hard to win that way if you don't have points on the board in the first quarter. Elliot, we always appreciate you hopping on. And we'll talk next week. And we'll see if it's after a win or after more craziness with the Eagles. Thank you.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks here. So we were just the last thing was about the points in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I saw this, no first quarter points through five games. Okay. It's pretty rare, right? The Eagles are the only team in the NFL and it is a small sample, but it's telling, right? It's not one game or two, it's five games.
Yeah.
So they're the only team in the NFL this year that has zero first quarter points in the last 20 years. You know how many times this has happened you add up all the years.
In the last 20 years?
Last 20 years. So you have 32 teams times
five.
It has happened 1, 2, 3, 6, about 10 times in 20 years. A team has gone.
I was halfway there.
You were. You were pretty close. 10 times in the last 20 years, including the Eagles, a team has gone five games without scoring any points the first quarter. Of those teams in the last 20 years, you know how many made the playoffs?
None.
One. Just one. Mm. I mean, it's.
Why are you killing my dream?
Well, no,
dog.
I'm not saying it's over. I'm saying this has to change, right?
Yeah, it does. It's not the end of the world, but it doesn't. That's not refreshing. That's not comforting.
Well, and it's so simple, too, right? Like, it's hard. If you're not scoring every first quarter, you're either tied 0-0 or you're losing at the end of every first quarter. It's hard.
And, you know, the thing that I remember about the first 15 plays, they were usually shocking all plays, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I remember Jim Johnson telling us, hey, make sure you don't fall for any of the window dressing and all that other stuff, because they're not going to be into their offense until about the second quarter, because it's designed for quick hitters, stuff to get cheap points fast, you know, get the quarterback in a rhythm, things like that. And for whatever reason, we don't do that. You know, and a lot of times those were plays that were unscouted looks. Those were looks that I can remember vividly. Doc said, hey, man, they're not in the offense yet. Calm down. Just weather this storm, and we'll be okay. It's unscouted. It's things that you haven't seen to try to get you off kilter. And then once the game really doesn't start till after the first possession, maybe the second possession, because then that's when you start to get into what you used to call complimentary football. You know, and another thing, when I think about this football team, we still don't know where this defense is, correct? We're still trying to fill it out. They had a good game last week. They had a good game against Seattle. But a lot of times, your offense, it complements what your defense is doing, or vice versa. You know, if you have a really strong defense, you can take some penitentiary chances on offense and do certain things that you normally wouldn't do because your defense is stout. And vice versa. We don't do any of those things, and I'm not talking about this game this weekend because the defense stepped up, but other games where, you know, you talk about the Tampa game where the defense is struggling and you don't call plays to slow the game down for them a little bit.
So with the defense, they played better this week. Obviously, the Browns are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we're even going to know this weekend. The Giants are not a good offense. Now, Neighbors being back, not on your fantasy team, but in the real game.
He's in the game. He's on my team.
He'll likely play in the game.
He went to a concert, man. He ain't supposed to be going. He put in protocol. He ain't got no time to be going to a concert.
Well, I wish he was out for this game, because that would make things easier. Well, I don't know how much we're going to know from this game. You know when we're going to have a sense? Next Sunday in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow this year, 71% completion, 12 touchdowns, 2 picks, 110 passer rating. That's going to be like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's say they played pretty well this weekend, and then we say, it was good against the Browns, pretty well against the Giants. Maybe we're turning a corner. That's when we're going to know, when they go to Cincinnati. If they play well there or decent there, then I think we'll feel good. So, yeah, there's some positive for you. Maybe we're heading the right direction on defense.
Maybe. We shall see.
It sounds like you believe it.
No, this is the thing with this team. They've been, I guess the best way to Dow Jonesy.
Up and down?
Dow Jonesy. And as confident as I am, there's still a little bit of trepidation, because I don't know who's going to show up Sunday. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I'm not harping on anything. but head coach cut his hair on a Friday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Defense played well in New Orleans 1 week, then they on the back of a milk carton the next week. I don't know. I mean, I want to believe in my football team, but damn, when I look at all these telltale signs, it's a little unnerving.
I agree.
You know what? I had an analogy that I was going to use, but I'm going to keep that one to myself.
Yeah, it's not for air?
Yeah, it's not probably.
Thank God.
Yeah. This dog wouldn't hunt.
That's for the group text. All right, let's go to Chuck in that area. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Gillio, what's the dealio?
Hey, Chuck.
What's up, man? What's up?
How y'all feeling? Hey, listen, I just heard Elliot get off, right? And it shames me. It really does. And I love Elliot, but this just shames me. I mean, you know, it's a bigger problem here in this situation, I see. It's bigger than, you know, Nick Sirianni cutting his hair, chirping at the fans, bringing his kids to the podium. All that happened. Yeah, I hear that. The biggest problem that we have is this guy is still involved in this offense. You know, I would love to see, and I heard, it's my man, Seth, come on earlier. And he, you know, I echo his sentiments, man. He was right on point. This offense is Nick Sirianni's offense. And you can look at a blind man can see that. And that's a problem. Because the thing about it is this, you know, we can't get ahead with this guy still having the same offense. And Elliot said, oh, well, this is Jalen Hurts' offense. Well, if it's Jalen Hurts' offense, why change the coordinator? Why not just keep the same coordinators here if it's his offense? Well, you know, we should just keep the same coordinators. You know what I mean? You're going to run the same offense anyway. I would love to see how this offense would look with Kellen Moore just being here as the head coach. And if they had let go Sirianni and just had Kellen Moore here calling the plays, I guarantee you, I'm willing to bet my life on it, that this offense will look different. And it might not look different right away, but as the weeks go on, you will see it. I think the only time we really seen Kellen Moore's offense is when the first week. And every week after that, it gradually turned into Nick Sirianni's show, the Nick Sirianni's offense. And that just can't happen. You can't win with this offense. I can clearly look at this offense and see this is not an elite offense. I don't care how many points they're scoring. Team scoring is leading. You know what I mean? You better score in this NFL. You got the defense got their hands, you know, tied behind their back. You better be able to score in this league. But the way that they're playing, not scoring in the first half, the same, you know, throw up the ball to A.J. Brown and hope he comes down with it, and throw up the ball to Devontae Smith, hope he comes down with it, not going over the middle, you know, running the same bubble screens, you know, running the tush push off more often than not. This is Nick Sirianni's offense, and I don't know why it still is. You know, it's like it's 85% or 75% of his offense and only 25% of Kellen Moore's offense being implemented. And it should be the other way around. This is why you brought the guy in. I don't care what anybody say. This is his offense, and that is the biggest problem that the Eagles are facing.
It feels
right
like
now.
It reminds me of Chuck, man, good phone call. In 2020, so Hugh, 2019, the Eagles rallied to make the playoffs, but it was choppy. It was very choppy the whole season. It was kind of like this.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, whether it was reported, it seemed like they wanted Doug to make changes to his staff, and he didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he got talked to, he made changes. But they didn't hire a coordinator. Remember this, Kyle? There was no offensive coordinator in 2020. They had like five different offensive assistants. Marty Morningwed came back.
Scangarello.
Rich Scangarello, because they wanted
just trying to get him back. Different minds in the room.
And they had all these cooks in the kitchen.
They're going to fix Carson Wentz, baby.
Oh, yeah, and it was gross. I mean, it was one of the worst offenses you'll ever see. And this isn't as bad. But if what people are surmising is happening, Hugh, that's not a good recipe because it does too many cooks. It's like, what is it? Like, how do you even teach the quarterback what you want him to do if you got different voices in there?
And not only that, somebody sent me something where you have to start looking at things differently if we're getting the same results. Somebody sent me a tweet that Kurt Warner had out, and he said, this offense looks eerily similar to the offense that Jalen's had for his whole career, and you've had three different offensive coordinators. And the one thing that we do know about Coach Moore, Coach Goober, if you will, he comes in and he got Dak Prescott going. And something that Elliott said that got me to thinking, we are an offense. We have some dynamic receivers. Very, very dynamic. But I can think about when I think about the routes that are being run, I can count on one hand how many times I've probably seen A.J. Brown do crossing routes or slants. And most times that he does it, he's pretty successful.
Well, how could you tackle him on a slant?
Yeah. And it kind of makes you wonder. I'm starting to wonder now, is it the limitations of the quarterback more than the offense? Because there's a lot. When you run those crossing routes and stuff, as I use my hands to gesture the crossing routes.
Sirianni was doing that, by the way, in the press conference.
Yeah, I mean, because we're like-minded. We're kindred spirits. What can I tell you? You tend to put the ball in harm's way quite a bit. And that's the thing about it. And it's more of a timing thing. Those are crisp timing routes. I don't know if Jalen's comfortable doing that. I'm speculating, because that's what we're doing here. We do reckless speculation. Yep. But it's something to think about. Because the kind of talent that we have, the dynamic talent that we have, we shouldn't be so vanilla. We shouldn't be.
So when you have things like this, and I think it's what Kurt Warner was surmising, maybe it's who's the common denominator,
yeah.
Right? So throwing over the middle of the field, they don't do it here. Jalen doesn't do it. 2022, he ranked 25th in throwing over the middle, the percentage of times he threw over the middle. Last year, he ranked 28th. This year, 32nd. So that was Shane Steichen. That was Brian Johnson. That was Kellen Moore. And Sirianni's obviously involved in the whole thing, too. But the common denominators are the head coach and the quarterback. There's been three different coordinators here the last 3 years. And I don't want to trigger Kyle at this time of the show, both the offensive guys that have moved on here have had success. Obviously, Shane Steichen's had more. He's a head coach. But Brian Johnson's the passing game coordinator for one of the most proficient offenses in football now.
I am triggered.
That is crazy.
So you wonder if it's not the coaches, good or bad.
It's like in a relationship. It's not me. It's you.
It might be the quarterback.
The common denominator.
So I agree. I've been saying that I think it's Jalen for a while now. I can't do the Brian Johnson thing.
I'm just saying he's having success.
Fine. Great. But whenever the Eagles have a great passing game, do we ever talk about our pass game coordinator? No.
No, and I'm not saying it's all because of him, but he might not be the dummy he was made out to be. He was scapegoated.
Yeah, he did look like, they did make him look like he was incompetent, though.
His offense was incompetent. I'm sorry.
Well, whose offense was it? Maybe it was Nick's. Maybe it was Jalen's. Maybe he was just a victim of circumstance.
I know, but that
All right.
Putting the kibosh on the Brian Johnson.
215-592-9494. Everyone take a deep breath.
You said you were going to trigger me.
I know. I did it strategically right now because, you know, we got business to take care of. All right, we get back. We have an awesome new Conklin song, all your phone calls, and we have to get something Kellen Moore said about the offense. About all this, and Vic Fangio on Nick Sirianni's involvement in defensive play calls, which is a brand new one for us. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Get ready to take care, tackle NFL action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. All right, how about a same game parlay for Thursday Night Football? I'm taking Denver to win the game outright on the road. Sean Payton revenge spot. I'll go with Bo Nix under passing touchdowns and an anytime touchdown scorer for Javonte Williams. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. This hour, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Herb in the Northeast, is he going to Popeyes? You should. What's up, Herb?
What's up there, bro? Listen, I just want to say one last thing for the Phillies, okay? Mm-hmm. You know they were going to get rid of anybody who was going to happen on Friday. So everything he said yesterday, I caught most of it, but there was a few minutes or so that I didn't. I definitely expect them to make a couple deals for some better pitching in the bullpen, lefty-righty, whatever. I expect them, okay, Andrew Painter to giving him a shot.
Andy. Okay?
Yeah, he goes by Andy now, Herb. Andy Painter.
I know Andrew Painter is. He's,
Andy.
He's pitching. Bird just flexed on you. He threw a couple
Fish
in.
Didn't know.
Andy. But go ahead, yep.
Might be this weekend or Monday or something. They're going to probably stretch him out to, you know, see if he can pitch 4 innings or whatever, you know, maybe in November, because that league plays all the way into December. But hopefully this kid could be one of the pitchers when we come up, you know, come back from Clearwater in late March. So I'm hoping that this kid can make it. They've got a lot of money that they gave out for this kid, and hopefully he can make it. The Eagles, man, okay, did you watch that Detroit-Dallas game?
I did, yes.
Okay, I watched the whole game. It was unbelievable the way they were going up and down the field. Of course, Dallas got some issues or whatever, but look at the offensive plays, the gadget plays. Look how they run people in motion, right, left, how they get the fullback is in there.
That's some good coaching. They've got good coaching there. Ben Johnson.
They use him as a tight end slash fullback. They did a little bit of everything. They had that one pass that was went to one wide receiver, and then they put the – it was like a triple flea flicker. And then Goff got it back and threw it downfield for in the guy caught it.
Wide open.
They wide
easy.
Open. Yeah, they
easy.
Had Dallas all. And take all these plays. So when we play Dallas, we can throw some of these plays at them. You understand? When we play down there in the Big D, and we play back here. So, you know.
Herb, what are you up to today?
I'd like to see them open up the playbook this week against the Giants. And put up in the 30s.
Yes. Well, that'd be great. I mean, good luck with that. Herb, what are you doing today? Okay. You working today?
Yeah, I'm heading down to South Street to see something. But
see something.
I'm working. I'll be over there about 3:30, but I don't get on until 6 o'clock with the new little electric vehicle that we got.
Oh, they got electric
vehicles. You driving electric cars now?
Yeah, we got a 5-seater electric car plus the driver. It's really cool looking. It looks like a golf cart that's all enclosed.
How about that?
A golf cart.
You know, from the rain or the snow, but it don't have no heat and no.
Oh, you got to bundle up then, Herb, when it gets cold out.
And no air conditioning. So we're going to be bundling up during the winter. You got that right.
You're darn right, Herb. Good talking to you. So he wants to take the flea flickers from the Lions and use them against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that might work. I mean, but this is a copycat league, to be totally honest. And that might be something that, you know, we'll look at as we get closer to that game.
Can we just have the offensive coordinator from the Lions? Can we just take that guy?
That would be nice. I don't think he wants to leave Detroit, though.
Not yet, he hasn't, right? He turned down the Commanders, turned down the Panthers.
It don't sound like he wants to leave there. I think he has a good thing in Detroit.
Well,
and maybe, you know, everybody's not set out to be a head coach.
I totally agree with that. But at some point, he's going to take a job, I think.
I feel like if he knew what Washington was about to get in Daniels, he'd be running over
there. Yeah, I think he made a mistake on that one. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Hey, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, Terrence?
I want to talk about the Phillies a little bit first. Mm-hmm. And the press conference. To me, it was pretty stale. Like you guys said, it was pretty much a shrug of the shoulders saying, yeah, we got good players, but do you have good players? Do you have average players or do you have good players? To me, if you're going to run the thing back, it's going to be the same thing. Like, who's going to be the guy in the postseason to change the approach to the plate? Who's going to be that guy? Are we going to make some changes to the roster? I don't want to hear about all the other teams batting average in the playoffs when the fact of the matter is you guys aren't hitting or not, you're not scoring any runs. You look at the Dodgers and the Mets. These guys are putting up numbers. Eventually, I heard him say the other day, if you notice the games that we've been in the playoffs, nobody was scoring runs. Yeah, but eventually you have those games when you have to score runs if you want to win a game. So I feel like you're just running this thing back, and I feel like a lot of players these days, and to me a lot of owners and GMs too, they're complacent with losing. Like, I don't know what this is about to say, okay, we lost, let's run it back, let's give Tyler one more year. It's like deja vu. And eventually, they're going to lose the fans. They're going to start those little sellout crowds that we're having. They're going to go away too. And I want to touch on Nick Sirianni. This guy is a joke. He's like the kid in the classroom where you're playing Duck Duck Goose, and you always pick the same person. You had him running around all the time. He's the goose. But Sirianni, man, like he talks all day and he said the same stuff. He's trying to sound smart in his press conference. I don't want to hear about nobody else, folks, or all this other BS. When the fact that I heard Elliot come on here and say, we got to lay off of Nick. How? Like when you're losing, you put a product on the field and it's garbage, we're going to get on you. The fact of the matter is, the offense looks stale. It looks the same as it has been the last two or three years. And it's like backyard football where, okay, we don't get a first down, let's throw it up to AJ. So I heard Chuck saying it earlier. We're just throwing it up, hoping we get a play. Like, and even Herb hit on it earlier, a couple seconds ago. Game one, we had motion. Then we had motion in the offense on our first game of the season.
Yeah, it did look different that first game. It's diminished. They had their guys back this week, Terrence. Like, it's one thing when they didn't have all their guys, then it was like, all right, maybe they're just dumbing it down because these are backups in and they don't know the full scope of it. But that's not the case this week, Terrence, and they still didn't do much of it. All right, we appreciate the phone call. One thing Terrence said there made me think of something.
What did you make think of? John?
Well, like Dombrowski sitting up there, and Dombrowski's like the opposite of Sirianni in a press conference. He's very buttoned up. He's like political. He gives off a I'm smart vibe.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I think he is smart. I think we have too many smart people in sports.
Well, you have.
Like, we need someone to just like say, hey, we stunk in October. We got to make changes. Instead of like, hey, actually, if you look at this, we weren't that bad. No one wants
to
hear
somebody
that.
Somebody relatable. That you can relate to.
I need a common sense person within every franchise to say, yeah, I get it, numbers people. This stunk.
Most numbers people aren't like that, though.
I know. We have too many smart people.
And that's why sometimes numbers people don't need to. It's a double-edged sword, Joe. On one hand, we have a head coach, and I'm just using this as a, compare and contrast. Coach Sirianni is an emotional guy. So far, in the small sampling size that we have, he's a pretty good coach. He seems like he's dealing with a lot. I don't want to say he's coming unhinged, but he's dealing with a lot right now. And he's the type of guy that he's so emotional that he's been accused a lot of times of oversharing. And then you have somebody else on the flip side that they're a linear thinker. They're not going to let emotions get involved with anything. They're just going to think that way. You want somebody that's a little bit in the middle.
I propose this. Every team should hire a WIP listener to be part of the front office, and they get to jump in once a press conference and say, hold on a second. What are you talking about? Like yesterday with Dombrowski and Trey Turner. What are you talking about?
In that disrespectful tone, just like that?
Yes. Like a caller would say, what are you talking about? He can't play shortstop anymore. Don't give me your metrics. He works hard.
How about I propose this?
What do you have?
How about you listen to what's being said and stop being emotional? Not you. I'm just saying that's what people do. Because Terrence, for example, everybody that's called in today, they're convinced that we're going to run this back the same way it was. I didn't hear that. I mean, I know we hear what we hear. I didn't hear running it back it being the same way. I heard when he was asked some specific questions that he danced around.
He did.
And he said, hey, this person did da da da. Never once did he say, we're going to run this back the way it is. So much so that Topper said, I think that, we could look at changing the leadoff hitter. I think he's here.
Topper seemed more open to change.
Yes, I don't see, and I think that what we do as fans, because we're so emotional, sometimes you just got to sit and listen. I know it's hard to do because we hear it, because we go into press conferences and we listen to things, and if we don't hear what we want to hear immediately, we get upset.
Yes, we get the pitchforks out.
But you are expecting someone to communicate. I should be a relationships coach.
I'm not sure that's the best idea.
I've had a couple of divorces in my life. Most dudes that do it anyway, they've had a couple of divorces, and I didn't want to tell everybody else I do it. But the point that I'm making is this. Sometimes you just have to sit back and listen to what's being said. We all don't communicate the same. We don't. You know what I've noticed about Kyle? Every time that I'm out here dropping these nuggets of wisdom, he always wants to bring up that past stuff.
A legit threat.
Make it sound like it was 10 years ago.
No, I'm just saying I don't live in the past. And all I'm saying is this. Sometimes when we're communicating, we got to take the emotion out of it. Why you
Eminominy.
Why you running these back to back, though? I don't understand. Why has Asai Reddick been on four of the freaking football teams?
Take the emotion out of it, Douglas, over here. No, you want emotion out.
I was cooking, though.
I want a WIP listener at every press conference. They're allowed to buzz in once a press conference and say, what are you talking about? Shortstop? That guy. I need him at every Philadelphia press conference.
Oh, my goodness.
He buzzes in and he says, what are you talking
about? I'm the voice of reason midday.
We let you think that. All right. Speaking of reason, the coordinator spoke yesterday because I think they're a little more reasonable than the head coach. Let's listen to Kellen Moore on the offense and why we're not seeing as much Jalen under center as maybe we thought we would.
Lack of under center usage. Is that something that you predicted or want, or is that just based upon the way things have flowed, or is it has anything to do with Jalen's comfortability?
I think there's an element of game plan and flow with that. Obviously, there's times where under center can be very advantageous for us. Again, trying to put ourselves in the best position to be successful as far as an offense, and obviously with Jalen's ability to run, there is some components to being in the gun and the pistol that kind of keep that threat alive in some of those cases. But obviously something that we put some time and effort into this offseason to utilize, and we'll continue to find different spaces to do that.
It sounded like he talked around it. I mean, speaking of, they're not going to tell you everything we want to hear. He's not going to say in a press conference in week six, hey, I would love to run more under center. My quarterback,
but Jalen can't do it.
He stinks at it, or he doesn't want to. So he's going to have to dance around it, but it is bizarre. I mean, it's just weird considering his history showed more of that. We thought we'd see more of it. And also Jalen said, this offense is 95% new. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Doesn't look 95% new.
Yeah, it looks 95% the same damn offense that we ran last year.
Well, is that in response to him saying that? Like, okay, maybe that's too new.
Oh, they dialed it back.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know what the problem is? The same results as last year. We keep talking about the names, and they don't score many points. That's not good. All right, the other side of the coin yesterday was the defensive coordinator, and you knew he'd be asked the question after Sirianni blurted out on Sunday that he called a defensive play.
I called that play.
Well, what was that all about?
I'm not going to tell you which one.
I won't tell you. Don't even ask. But here's Vic Fangio on that whole thing.
Vic, Nick said after the game that he made a defensive play call. First of all, what was that call, and are you okay with that?
It wasn't a defensive call. It was just a situation thing to where he just said, hey, be alert for this. He didn't call it defense.
So what was the situation then that he...
It was just when they had the ball near midfield and, it was third and long. He said, hey, be alert that they may check it down or something. You know, they're trying to get him field goal range.
Yeah, Vic wasn't having any of that. Even if he did call defense, he was not letting you know that Sirianni called one of his defenses.
Oh, man, I tell you, that, oh. Oh, that's just bad.
There's something about the end of an Eagles coach's 10-year press conferences. Kyle, this is starting to remind me of some of Doug's. Doug never did anything with the fans. That's different. But the press conferences where, like, it's almost, really? You said this? Are you sure? Are you sure you said that? You want to walk that one back?
Then all the follow-ups are like, well,
sometimes
no,
you just got to eat the turd, man. Like, I know it doesn't sound like that. Kind of undermines the coach, though.
Oh, well, of course it does.
You're looking at me like, duh. Yes, it does. Because Nick sat there, and I think that's one of the reasons why Nick decided in this press conference to slow it down.
Short talk.
Short talk. Because in his mind, he probably felt like he did call that defensive play. You know? I'm reaching here a little bit.
I still don't know why he volunteered on Sunday. He called a defensive play.
Long talking.
It made no sense. Long it talking. Didn't fit the rest of the conversation. Oh, by the way.
I called
guys,
one play.
One more thing. I called a defensive play.
Ain't going to tell you which one it was. Nah, that's tough. But Vic could have had Coach back, though, man. He could have had Coach
Vic back. Fangio does not strike me as a warm and fuzzy, I got your back guy. He strikes me as a, excuse me?
It's like, wait a minute, I'm not going to let you take.
Welcome back, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, this hour sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Herb in the Northeast, is he going to Popeyes? You should. What's up, Herb?
What's up there, bro? Listen, I just want to say one last thing for the Phillies, okay? Mm-hmm. You know they were going to get rid of anybody who was going to happen on Friday. So everything he said yesterday, I caught most of it, but there was a few minutes or so that I didn't. I definitely expect them to make a couple deals for some better pitching in the bullpen, lefty, righty, whatever. I expect them, okay, Andrew Painter to giving him a shot.
Andy.
Okay? Yeah, he goes by Andy now, Herb. Andy Painter.
I know Andrew Painter is he's
Andy.
He's pitching Bird in the fall. He threw a couple of
Andy. But go ahead, yep.
Might be this weekend or Monday or something. They're going to probably stretch him out to, you know, see if he can pitch 4 innings or whatever, you know, maybe in November, because that league plays all the way into December. But hopefully this kid could be one of the pitchers when we come up, you know, come back from Clearwater in late March. So I'm hoping that this kid could make it. They've got a lot of money that they gave out for this kid, and hopefully he can make it. The Eagles, man, okay, did you watch that Detroit-Dallas game?
I did, yes.
Okay, I watched the whole game. It was unbelievable the way they were going up and down the field. Of course, Dallas got some issues or whatever, but look at the offensive plays, the gadget plays. Look how they run people in motion, right, left, how they get the fullback is in there.
That's some good coaching. They've got good coaching there. Ben Johnson.
They use him as a tight end slash fullback. They did a little bit of everything. They had that one pass that was went to one wide receiver, and then they put the – it was like a triple flea flicker. And then Goff got it back and threw it downfield for and the guy caught it.
Wide open.
They wide
easy.
Open. Yeah, they
easy.
Had Dallas all. And take all these plays. So when we play Dallas, we can throw some of these plays at them. You understand? When we play down there in the Big D and we play back here. So, you know.
Herb, what are you up to today?
I'd like to see them open up the playbook this week against the Giants. And put up in the 30s.
Yes. Well, that'd be great. I mean, like, good luck with that. Herb, what are you doing today? Okay.
What's that?
You working today?
Yeah, I'm heading down to South Street to see something. But
see something.
I'm working. I'll be over there about 3:30, but I don't get on until 6 o'clock with the new little electric vehicle that we got.
Oh, they got electric.
You driving electric cars now?
Yeah, we got a 5-seater electric car plus the driver. It's really cool looking. It looks like a golf cart that's all enclosed.
How about that?
A golf cart.
You know, from the rain or the snow, but it don't have no heat and no.
Oh, you got to bundle up then, Herb, when it gets cold out.
And no air conditioning. So we're going to be bundling up during the winter. You got that right.
You're darn right, Herb. Good talking to you. So he wants to take the flea flickers from the Lions and use them against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that might work. I mean, but this is a copycat league, to be totally honest. And that might be something that, you know, we'll look at as we get closer to that game.
Can we just have the offensive coordinator from the Lions? Can we just take that guy?
That would be nice. I don't think he wants to leave Detroit, though.
Not yet, he hasn't, right? He turned down the Commanders, turned down the Panthers.
It don't sound like he wants to leave there. I think he has a good thing in Detroit. Well, and maybe, you know, everybody's not set out to be a head coach.
I totally agree with that. But at some point, he's going to take a job, I think.
I feel like if he knew what Washington was about to get in Daniels, he'd be running over
there. Yeah, I think he made a mistake on that one. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Hey, Joe Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, Terrence?
I want to talk about the Phillies a little bit first. Mm-hmm. And the press conference. To me, it was pretty stale. Like you guys said, it was pretty much a shrug of the shoulders saying, yeah, we got good players, but do you have good players? Do you have average players or do you have good players? To me, if you're going to run the thing back, it's going to be the same thing. Like, who's going to be the guy in the postseason to change the approach to the plate? Who's going to be that guy? Are we going to make some changes to the roster? I don't want to hear about all the other teams batting average in the playoffs when the fact of the matter is you guys aren't hitting or not, you're not scoring any runs. You look at the Dodgers and the Mets. These guys are putting up numbers. Eventually, I heard him say the other day, if you notice the games that we've been in the playoffs, nobody was scoring runs. Yeah, but eventually you have those games when you have to score runs if you want to win a game. So I feel like you just run this thing back, and I feel like a lot of players these days, and to me a lot of owners and GMs too, they're complacent with losing. Like, I don't know what this is about to say, okay, we lost, let's run it back, let's give Todd one more year. It's like deja vu, and eventually they're going to lose the fans, they're going to start those little sellout crowds that were having, they're going to go away too. And I want to touch on Nick Sirianni. This guy is a joke. He's like the kid in the classroom where you're playing Duck, Duck, Goose, and you always took the same person. You had him running around all the time. He's the goose. But Sirianni, man, like, he talks all day, and he said the same stuff. He's trying to sound smart in his press conference. I don't want to hear about nobody else, folks, or all this other BS. When the fact that I heard Elliot come on here and say, we got to lay off of Nick? How? Like, when you're losing, you put a product on the field and it's garbage, we're going to get on you. The fact of the matter is the offense looks stale. It looks the same as it has been the last two or three years. And it's like backyard football where, okay, we don't get a first down, let's throw it up to AJ. So I heard Chuck saying it earlier. We're just throwing it up hoping we get a play. Like, and even Herb hit on it earlier, a couple seconds ago. Game one, we had motion. Then we had motion in the offense. On our first game,
it did look different that first game. It's diminished.
They had their
guys back this week, Terrence. Like, it's one thing when they didn't have all their guys. Then it was like, all right, maybe they're just dumbing it down because these are backups in and they don't know the full scope of it. But that's not the case this week, Terrence, and they still didn't do much of it. All right, we appreciate the phone call. One thing Terrence said there made me think of something.
What did you make think of? John?
Well, like Dombrowski sitting up there, you know. And Dombrowski's like the opposite of Sirianni in a press conference. He's very buttoned up. He's like political. He gives off a I'm smart vibe.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I think he is smart. I think we have too many smart people in sports.
Well, you have.
Like, we need someone to just like say, hey, we stunk in October. We got to make changes. Instead of like, hey, actually, if you look at this, we weren't that bad.
Relatable.
No one wants
to
hear
somebody
that.
Relatable. That you can relate to.
I need a common sense person within every franchise to say, yeah, I get it, numbers people. This stunk.
Most numbers people aren't like that, though.
I know. We have too many smart people.
And that's why sometimes numbers people don't need to. It's a double-edged sword, Joe. On one hand, we have a head coach, and I'm just using this as a, you know, compare and contrast. Coach Sirianni is an emotional guy. So far, in the small sampling size that we have, he's a pretty good coach. He seems like he's coming, he's dealing with a lot. I don't want to say he's coming unhinged, but he's dealing with a lot right now. And he's the type of guy that he's so emotional that he's been accused a lot of times of oversharing. And then you have somebody else on the flip side that they're a linear thinker. They're not going to let emotions get involved with anything. They're just going to think that way. You want somebody that's a little bit in the middle.
I propose this. Every team should hire a WIP listener to be part of the front office, and they get to jump in once a press conference and say, hold on a second. What are you talking about? Like yesterday with Dombrowski and Trey Turner. What are you talking about?
In that disrespectful tone, just like that?
Yes. Like a caller would say, what are you talking about? He can't play shortstop anymore. Don't give me your metrics. He works hard.
How about I propose this?
What do you have?
How about you listen to what's being said and stop being emotional? Not you. I'm just saying that's what people do. Because Terrence, for example, everybody that's called in today, they're convinced that we're going to run this back the same way it was. I didn't hear that. I mean, I know we hear what we hear. I didn't hear running it back it being the same way. I heard when he was asked some specific questions that he danced around.
He did.
And he said, hey, this person did, da, 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 da. Never once did he say, we're going to run this back the way it is. So much so that Topper said, you know, I think that, you know, we could look at changing the leadoff hitter. I think he's here.
Topper seemed more open to change.
Yes, I think that what we do as fans, because we're so emotional, sometimes you just got to sit and listen. I know it's hard to do because we hear it, because we go into press conferences and we listen to things, and if we don't hear what we want to hear immediately, we get upset.
Yes, we get the pitchforks out.
But you are expecting someone to communicate. I should be a relationships coach.
I'm not sure that's the best idea.
I think, you know what I mean? I've had a couple divorces in my life. Most dudes that do it anyway, they've had a couple divorces, and I didn't want to tell everybody else I do it. But the point that I'm making is this. Sometimes you just have to sit back and listen to what's being said. We all don't communicate the same. We don't. You know what I've noticed about Kyle? Every time that I'm out here dropping these nuggets of wisdom, he always wants to bring up that past stuff.
A legit threat.
I don't live in the past, bro.
A legit threat.
Make it sound like it was 10 years ago.
No, I'm just saying, I don't live in the past. And all I'm saying is this. Sometimes when we're communicating, we got to take the emotion out of it. Why are you
Eminomini.
Laughing?
Eminomini.
Why are you running these back-to-back, though? I don't understand. Why has Asai Reddick been on four other freaking football teams?
Take the emotion out of it, Douglas, over here. No, you want emotion out.
I was cooking, though.
I want a WIP listener at every press conference. They're allowed to buzz in once a press conference and say, what are you talking about? Shortstop? That guy. I need him at every Philadelphia press conference.
Oh, my goodness.
He buzzes in and he says, what are you talking
about? Can't
believe
I'm the voice of reason in the midday.
We let you think that. All right. Speaking of reason, the coordinator spoke yesterday because I think they're a little more reasonable than the head coach. Let's listen to Kellen Moore on the offense and why we're not seeing as much Jalen under center as maybe we thought we would.
Lack of under center usage. Is that something that you predicted or want, or is that just based upon the way things have flowed, or is it has anything to do with Jalen's comfortability?
I think there's an element of game plan and flow with that. Obviously, there's times where under center can be very advantageous for us. Again, trying to put ourselves in the best position to be successful as far as an offense, and obviously with Jalen's ability to run, there is some components to being in the gun and the pistol that kind of keep that threat alive in some of those cases. But obviously, something that we put some time and effort into this offseason to utilize, and we'll continue to find different spaces to do that.
It sounded like he talked around it. I mean, speaking of, they're not going to tell you everything we want to hear. He's not going to say in a press conference in week six, hey, I would love to run more under center. My quarterback,
but Jalen can't do it.
He stinks at it, or he doesn't want to. So he's going to have to dance around it, but it is bizarre. I mean, it's just weird considering his history showed more of that. We thought we'd see more of it. And also Jalen said, this offense is 95% new. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Doesn't look 95% new.
Yeah, it looks 95% the same damn offense that we ran last year.
Well, is that in response to him saying that? Like, okay, maybe that's too new.
Oh, they dialed it back.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know what the problem is? The same results as last year. We keep talking about the names, and they don't score many points. That's not good. All right, the other side of the coin yesterday was the defensive coordinator, and you knew he'd be asked the question after Sirianni blurted out on Sunday that he called a defensive play.
I called that play.
Well, what was that all about?
I won't tell you which one.
I won't tell you. Don't even ask. But here's Vic Fangio on that whole thing.
Nick said after the game that he made a defensive play call. First of all, what was that call, and are you okay with that?
It wasn't a defensive call. It was just a situation thing to where he just said, hey, be alert for this. He didn't call it defense.
So what was the situation then that he...
It was just when they had the ball near midfield and, you know, it was third and long. He said, hey, be alert that they may check it down or something. You know, they're trying to get him field goal range.
Yeah, Vic wasn't having any of that. Even if he did call defense, he was not letting you know that Sirianni called one of his defenses.
Oh, man, I tell you, that, oh. Oh, that's just bad. That's just
There's something about the end of an Eagles coach's tenure press conferences. Kyle, this is starting to remind me of some of Doug's. Doug never did anything with the fans. That's different. But the press conferences where, like, it's almost, really? You said this? Are you sure? Are you sure you said that? You want to walk that one back?
Then all the follow-ups are like, well,
sometimes
no,
you just got to eat the turd, man. Like, we, I know it doesn't sound like that. Kind of undermines the coach, though.
Well, of course it does.
You're looking at me like, duh. Yes, it does. Because Nick sat there, and I think that's one of the reasons why Nick decided in this press conference to slow it down.
Short talk.
Because in his mind, he probably felt like he did call that defensive play. You know? I'm reaching here a little bit.
I still don't know why he volunteered on Sunday. He called a defensive play.
Long talking.
It made no sense. Long it talking. Didn't fit the rest of the conversation. Oh, by the way.
I called
guys,
one play.
One more thing. I called a defensive play.
Ain't going to tell you which one it was. Nah, that's tough. But Vic could have had Coach back, though, man. He could have had Coach
Vic Fangio does not strike me as a warm and fuzzy. I got your back guy. He strikes me as a, excuse me?
Wait a minute. I'm not going to let you take.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.